Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast, without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders. Yay!
Hello.
With our fantastic guest, Timak.
Good. You know what?
Good.
Nothing derails a podcast like pause,
good
typing, then introduce guests.
It's because I can, you know what? Every time I think to myself, I'm set. I did everything. I've got everything sorted and there's nothing left to do. And then the second I swap over, I go, except that.
We need like a podcast gremlin to sit in your room with you and do all the technical stuff so you can just have fun.
That would be amazing.
Right?
I would love a podcast gremlin.
Don't you have a child?
I don't know how you find
those. Shouldn't they be put to work yet? Right?
She has school. She needs to be educated first. Jesse.
Educate her in podcasting. Set for life.
You know what?
Not wrong. Like, bring her right to the industry. She's going to have the people to work with right away. It's mm-hmm. done.
It's a family business.
It's a family business.
Mm-hmm. You'll mm-hmm. take it up too, you will. Yeah. Just saying.
Dude, Jesse, I need you to know. Sorry, mm-hmm. Tim. Side note. But Jesse, I need you to know.
Sorry, guest.
Sorry,
okay?
Guest. Give me just a second here.
I'm chilling. You're fine. I'm easy.
Mm-hmm. All mm-hmm. week, people have been showing up in my chat and being like, Jesse says that your daughter's a mean girl. Confirm. Deny. I don't like this.
I haven't mentioned your daughter once outside of last week's podcast.
I know.
I don't think about your daughter in like any sort of way. It's not a thing on my mind. I think they just watched the podcast and then went to you.
And then they're like, she's live. I'm going to go, yeah, I'm going to go sock her in the chin.
Yeah, I'm not over here like, welcome to the Dodger podcast, where I talk hot goss about Dodger's family. Did you know that Dodger's kid is a mean girl? The meanest. She and her friends, Tiffany, spelled not how you think, and Kaylee, spelled not how you think, they go around mm-hmm. school and they cause trouble.
Yep.
Like, I'm not.
I just want you to know. Like, I'm just saying.
Okay.
The things you say, okay, they have repercussions.
I'm just starting her. Like, if it filters to them, imagine if it filters to the school. And then people are
That's
not
so
good.
True.
They're going to be like, watch out for her. She's the boss of this school. And then she'll be like, what is the girl in the Japanese anime that's like, I'm the tough girl in charge of school? That one. I don't know these things.
In the only anime? Yeah, who is that girl in that anime?
You know, the girl in the anime who's like, I'm the tough girl who runs the school.
Totally, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You're quite the imagination. I need this kind of imagination in my life.
Hi, Tim.
It's all I've got.
This whole manifestation is amazing. I need this.
Yeah.
Jesse's good at spinning a yarn, you know. I feel like we're all good at it in different directions.
That's the nicest way of saying bullshitter. He's good at spinning a yarn.
He's good at spinning a
no,
yarn.
No, it's not even bullshit. No, it's the whole like I appreciate a good story and like, you know, creation from nothing. It's like it's great. It's great. I would have never come up with something like that.
I mean, you are also very good at that.
You have to be. Not so much anymore.
You have to be doing RP all the time, dude. You're like on your toes constantly.
I'm a reactive creator. Like it's, I do really well with what's put in front of me, and I could just bounce off of shit real easy. It's that, that's where I do well. Coming up with something out of nothing usually is my struggle.
So you, Sam has talked about this before rolling? With like, cause I was saying that I find things like GTA RP really intimidating. And he was like, honestly, you can just make a character and then just like wait for something crazy to happen and then just involve yourself if that's what you want. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a welcome to my stream.
You're like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. I'm doing the thing. And somebody got shot. Gonna go see what's going on with that.
I think that's why I do so. I started doing cop again like last month. And then like that's a very bounce off of shit type of like job or position and the whole thing. So you can just like, you know, something happens, you show up, you've already got your training, but you got to apply to it in certain ways. And you're like, all right, somebody speeds in front of you. All right, pull them over. Let's get, you know, get that started.
Do you like,
it's really reactionary.
Do you like doing the cop role?
I think as a cop role for me, like that, like I said, like being a reactionary type of creator, I think it's better. But when it comes to like my criminal character, I really like the character, but it's, you know, you really have to like come up with stuff that you want to do, and like you got to force yourself in that direction, which is good now that I've done that for a while. You kind of get used to it, but it's a it can be tricky to actually get something rolling.
Yeah,
you gotta have the people around too. So if you have your crew and they're all like going to bed, and I'm a late night guy, so most of the time they are. If they're not around, then you kind of have to come up with something on your own, which can be a much bigger struggle if the people you're used to collaborating with is they're just not there.
Have you thought about being a kingpin like character where all you do, because you can't line up your schedule with people, is you're like, I have a job for yous. You have 24 hours to complete it. And if you do, riches will be yours. Right?
Yeah. I will do that.
And then your RP session at night when you're by yourself can be like you and hired goons. And you're like, all right, goons, what is our plan to take over the city? Right? And then
the problem is my character is already a goon.
A coming of age goon story where you become the kingpin.
It's open. I can do my own. I can jump in and be my own kingpin. If I start killing other players,
I did that at one point. And that was my mafia character.
Oh man, I don't want to be. I want to run for mayor. I want to do the whole thing.
Moon's doing that.
Yeah, but I would kill. I would kill everyone else who was in the way of me as mayor.
Of course.
And I'd be like, the streets are, crime is taking over the streets.
All the mayors are dying. That's crazy.
My opponent was brutally murdered by a mysterious person. Shh. Go away. By a person I don't know. The background guy's like, sir, you still haven't paid me for assassinating your opponent. And he's like, I don't know what that's about. Yeah, I do a whole, it'd be great.
Jesse, if at some point you decide to jump into GTA RP and do that, can I be like your weird mousy assistant?
First off, yes. Second off, great. I will always tell you to do the thing. I'd be like, do the thing.
Okay.
Enjoy figuring out what, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Well, Moon, it's kind of funny though. It's like they had this, like, we have a mayor now. It's Moon, but his character, like, they did this time shift of like +5 years, and you know, the island shut down, war broke out, whatever it was. Come back, everything's reset, economy's rebuilding, government's rebuilding, and he, like, his character is like a previous ex-terrorist that was in maximum security prison that is now out, and now he's running. He ran and made mayor, so. So it's really interesting the things that he's doing with it, like overseeing the PD and coming up with new legislation and all that stuff. So the mayor's a really interesting, like, unique spot, which,
yeah, I feel like you probably have to commit a lot of time to be mayor as well.
He lives it.
I've never done GTA RP in any way, except I watch people do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so everything I see seems insane to me. In ways that a great example is I was watching our dear sweet boy Octo play, and he was literally just working in a restaurant for 6 hours. And I don't understand why. I was like, you could just work in a real restaurant for 6 hours. He's like, yeah, but this is great. I'm like, how is it great? In what way? No one's explained to me ever. Are you always starting from the bottom? Do you have nothing? What are the rules? Why do I have to work a job? I have so many questions. And now that you're here, I'm just going to ask them all. You are representing everyone who has ever played right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like working a job. Like the problem is like, it's weird. Like they say RP is like, in RP money is like a support or a tool to help you role play. I feel like it's sometimes a freaking requirement because it gatekeeps without having it, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't like do the things you may want to do without building an amount of wealth to then throw at it towards your criminal ventures. And so. What was it? Senior Buns? Which server do you remember?
I don't.
Either way,
I honestly
either way, you work in a freaking kitchen. Yeah. So yeah, you just get paychecks over time, but. The thing is with the restaurants, you never know who's coming in and out of there. So there could just be a random thing. Someone might come and rob you. Some might be a nasty like customer or something like that, and talking crap about the food. And then you're like, so things can happen out of nowhere when you do something like that. It's really funny.
You need players that aren't trying to be mayor or kingpin, right? In order for the like sort of living breathing world aspect to work. Yeah.
I've changed what I want to be.
Okay.
I don't want to be a criminal in the sense of a guy who shoots the place up. I want to be a criminal in the sense of a corporate executive. Can I be just a guy who sits at a desk and takes everyone's money and does nothing? I feel like that's the evilest thing you could do. And I think I would thrive at it in Grand Theft Auto. Because imagine that there's no Grand Theft or Auto. It's just me collecting everyone else's money.
I think so. I mean, it depends on your angle. Like some people do like loan companies and it's like, you'll take the money back or you'll loan money out, and they have to pay you back interest and then you go to civil court and things like that. And like, just like loan sharking rates or something like that. All right, if you don't pay this by the first week, it's 50%, hike or something like that. And just really scam people.
Could I just get a job as an executive with no experience and then fire/layoff my way to getting some sort of executive package that gives me more money for doing even less work?
I think you're embracing a bit of the D&D element here where they just hand you something really cool right away. You don't get that. You come off the plane with shoes.
Could I join the game, but my father already be president of a company and they just give it to me? Is that?
I mean, it depends if the server is cool enough to let you do that. Most of the time they give you they start you off as borderline homeless. So, and everybody starts off the same. So that's the one issue. Like the pre-setup, not always a thing.
Could I get a small $2 million loan? Is that possible?
Just a small one.
You can technically do something like that. If you popped in and be like, I need a loan for this amount. And then you use that to leverage off of. But,
Okay.
You can end up in civil court.
All right.
Can I
definitely go to court.
Can I give you my character pitch? I pitched this to Sam. I really want, because I wouldn't be able to commit a ton of time, right? But if I was going to join a server, I would want to be a person who logs on. And he was saying that you can, in some weird finagly way, you can set up a radio station on servers.
Oh, yeah.
I would want to basically do my own coast-to-coast show. I would just I would log on and just talk about weird conspiracy theories for a full hour and then log off.
I think that'd be great. I don't know. That would have to have some sort of server functionality. But yeah, I think that I don't think there's enough done on the radio. I think that would be great.
It would be fun. And people could call in.
You should do a call in for people in the game. So people who are playing can call in and be like, I saw a leprechaun downtown. That's crazy.
And you're then so brave
the best part would be, people would listen. Like, I saw a leprechaun. And then the next day, there'd be someone on the server dressed up like Leprechaun downtown, running around hiding. Like, I saw a leprechaun, and you could be in the game. Like, I saw the chupacabra. And someone could dress up and be like, I'm the chupacabra. You know that'd be amazing. That is so good.
Thank you.
That would be amazing. Yeah, I love it. I think that that's unique, and nobody really does anything like that. They'll do like events a lot. There's a big music crowd, so they do a lot of these like custom music stations, but it's all like pre-downloaded as you connect to the server. So all these custom songs that everyone's been working on, it downloads to your computer, and then when you switch the radio around, I think it might be timed in a way, but they're all custom radio channels, so then it'll just play one of the songs. So you have this huge like music community, but nothing really enough live like that.
Right.
I think that'd be great.
If the functionality is there, somebody should use it.
You could also just do it in advance. Like,
and just play it. Yeah.
Do a radio play of you doing like, all right, caller, welcome. And you can just have all your like friends be like, I saw the Bigfoot in the woods.
That would be hilarious, actually. Just reach out to different people.
Yeah.
That'd be easy. That'd be easy fix. If you're recording it and just like upload it, absolutely. Easily.
Yeah.
Easy done.
That'd be really fun.
Or you could take it from like maybe actually go through a live thing and then have people calling you and be like, you know, pre-recorded live content thing, call in if you want to be on here. It'll be, you know, broadcasted like.
Can you live in trailers?
Yeah, they do. They just the server mine, they have these. So they have like houses you can buy, and then they just release trailers. Those got bought up immediately because they're like a lot cheaper. Yeah, and then you can decorate them. You have to buy all the furniture and shit. That's expensive as hell. But you know, do flooring, paints on the wall, like set up a computer if you want, or a bed.
It's very Second Life.
It's very much like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of functionality with it that helps with the game and shit.
It is funny that because it's GTA, it's like cooler than Second Life. You know what I mean? But it's roughly the same thing. But it's just it's Grand Theft Auto, dude. So it's cooler.
It's definitely more MMO aspect, I would say, than Second Life. The social like experiment of it all is, I could see that. But when it comes to like the gameplay and the action of it all and the evolution of your character, you know, with Second Life, it's just a microphone and dicks.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of stuff that they're able to do on the servers is changing all the time, right? Like people are coming up with like new functionality.
Yeah,
new
ideas. I'm on NoPixel, and they have. It started off very civilian oriented, and then they started trickling in updates over time of like civilian meaning, like you could either be a garbage worker or a delivery driver, this Group 6 money bag, money transporter, restaurant worker. What else? There's one more, tow trucking. So there was all this stuff, mechanic, and that was like your basic jobs, and that rode for a while. And then they started trickling new mechanics over time, like, you know, growing weed and then selling weed and delivering like that. So there's this evolution that you start seeing through development, which is really cool.
Have they ever added something in and then been like, nobody's using this, never mind, just like taking it out?
They kind of bolster it by like the greed of people. So like hunting wasn't really used that much. They added that, and then they made it ridiculously worth. And then like everybody was up there. So the greed, you just appeal to the greed in people, and they'll just follow where the money is. It's hilarious because you just start seeing this one group that just moves around. And if you see where they are, you know, that's where you can make decent money if you ever need it. But it's
I was doing a VRRP thing for a while that was like once a week for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I
did that once.
Yeah, it tried to have the same sort of vibe of like, you know, there's lots of different people and everybody's got their own, you know, job and role and like on the map and stuff like that. And I guess because of how we're still learning about VR and what you can do with like the servers with a virtual thing like that, there would be stuff that would get added and then the whole server would get completely bogged down.
Oh yeah.
And I'd be like, oh shit, right? We'd all have to like adjust to figure out how to have it work well with
a little
the
bit
system.
More efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I did that too. I did a cyberpunky one. I think CR or whatever it was. And I was kind of your idea, Jesse. I was like one of the corporal execs, and It was this like scummy type of. Were you playing with like on the side.
Kraken in them?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember who was around. And in the corpo area, I remember Devin Nash being up there. He was one of the corpos.
It's still, yeah.
It was really weird because you had like the underground, you had the main city, you had corpo land and the desert. I think he might have been one of the desert people.
Yeah, it's the same one. They've just like renamed it now.
Yes, but, right.
Yeah, and it's Neon Divide now.
Is it Neon Divide? Thank you. I was going to say that. Yeah, I'm in there. I haven't actually touched anything. I got a new VR set.
Have you guys
threw away a lot of shit.
Have you guys seen those like VR, those huge VR treadmills that you can get for your house?
Yeah. Are you talking about the it looks like I don't know, like your feet just slide back and forth
like
or
a
something?
Weird dish and you like strap yourself
the
in.
Dish. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm so curious what those are like.
I'm more excited about the Disney thing that they developed.
What Disney thing?
That it's for rides, maybe people movers. I don't know. But it is new flooring that moves you.
Oh.
And so you can sit in a chair, it'll move the chair. You can stand, it'll move you. You can walk on it, and it will move so that it's like you're walking, but it's basically what you would imagine the floor of a holodeck would be like, where how can they move around through infinite space if there are walls? Well, the floor would have to move. And so, yeah, Disney's done a bunch of videos of it. It's going to be used for something, but it's the coolest thing I've seen, period, in a long time. And I'm like, yo, that's the future. That's how you do VR and stuff.
How do you not
it's
trip, very though, interesting. Dude? That sounds like I would trip.
Well, it's like they're very small, so you're not going to trip on it.
Mm.
Okay.
Like, if you can find the video, literally, they're like little tiny... I don't know how to describe it. It's like if you're looking at... I'm trying to think of what that game... Like, either Othello or Go, maybe, where you're switching from white to black.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the things on the ground are doing. And it's moving. It's one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. And so I'm like, yo, screw those treadmills. This is the future. Ooh. Probably a way off future, but it looks cool as hell.
What if it was just like a flat square like treadmill that just detected your movement? So like when you're moving around, like it just balanced your, you know, just kind of push back exactly the same speed you're going, so you could just kind of like turn any direction and feel like you're moving around the world.
I guess it'd be tough to do the stops, right? Because at some point you would stop, and then it would still be going, and you would go down.
Well, that's it would have to track your feet to determine,
right?
You know what direction to move it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's called the Holotile. If anyone is curious,
Holotile.
Yeah.
I want to see.
The Disney Holotile.
Holotile. Oops.
Imagineer makes history with Disney Holotile. Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of videos, and it's just like one of the coolest, goofiest looking things.
Oh my gosh. It looks totally different than I thought.
Yeah. It's straight up just like you can zip around on it. It's like if there's a video on YouTube at Disney Parks, and that, like 3 minutes, I don't know, 3 minutes, 40 seconds, they show a demonstration. It's very cool.
Man, our holodecks, they're on the horizon.
That's what I'm saying. I want a holodeck. Mm. I need to experience it. I was close. I've almost been there. Mm. I've almost experienced perfect VR. And now I've got a taste, and I want the rest.
This looks a little slippy.
I'm sure that's why they're moving slowish, you know what I mean? It's very clearly like there's when they sit in the chair and the chair moves, it's very clear that's the applicable, like that's what it's for a ride. So the ground, and you can like move in the chair and they can move
you
around.
Cool.
But walking on it, I think that would be like that's the future, I would assume, of VR like content. Because after a while you can only do so much with the headset. Right, because it's still going to make people
sick. In a confined space. Yeah, true.
Yeah, and if you can combine, for example, the technology of that ground, whatever that's called, the holotile, plus the spatial, I don't know if awareness is the right word, but like the way they use the cameras and visuals in, say, the Vegas, like whatever that sphere.
Yeah.
Combining the two of those would be trippy as hell. Like, that would be some amazing, I don't even know, like, a not a tourist attraction, but just an experience. That'd be very cool.
That would be pretty cool. You'd have to get that, like, spatial sense without the headset.
Mm-hmm. But, it, I mean, it's
headset's not bad, though. You'd have to
depends.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, send two images.
The idea of having the headset and then the rest of you can still function without having to have other stuff. I don't know. It becomes tougher and tougher the more you want to make it real, right? And so the more stuff you have on you and the more things in your hands and stuff, the more gamified it is.
But
I want to get it like I'm just in that world. Like, oh, look at me. I'm in the world.
I mean,
I think that would be cool.
We had a couple of weeks ago, we had Kriken on as a guest, and he was talking about VR a little bit and was saying that from his understanding and talking to people, that VR development is like so much closer to feeling realistic than we realize. But the problem is that the technology is advancing fast enough that people aren't developing anything with it. They're just developing the technology instead of making like any products for us to use, really.
Right. So there's a lot of like feature demos and not a lot of depth to it. Yeah. Well, what's that game? I think the general idea, which this happens quite a bit. Whenever you talk about the GTA and RP and stuff, a lot of it does kind of drift during these conversations to something like VR because it builds on the immersion of gameplay. And I think immersion is just like what people are really seeking in stuff like this. And like that's why all these games that have a huge immersive element just succeed so well. I mean, look at people like playing Skyrim. That was one of the most immersive games. And VR just being like, you can't be anymore. Like, you're like putting yourself in another world. So I think that's going to end up taking off quite a bit in this near future because the higher level immersion is where I think things are going to sell like crazy. It's either like AAA, like a GTA 6, which is a pretty immersive game. You're throwing yourself in a world. That's going to just be ridiculously beautiful and people are just going to live it. Or like something like this where you just feel like you're in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a, like the human brain, all it is interpreting signals and electricity and stuff. So there's like a reality in which you can make stuff very immersive. The problem is how many people are going to be like, yeah, shoot that into my brain. Like, you know. But
yeah,
the possibility is there. You can, like, the stuff we see is literally just stuff we're interpreting with our brain, right? So it's possible that you could do anything and tell the brain, yeah, this is what you're seeing. And so it could be that that's a thing that, you know, you walk into a room and suddenly you're like, I'm in a different world. And then you leave the room and suddenly you're not anymore. It's possible. But again, it's one of those things like
Westworld.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many people would want that though? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people like the idea, but I'm not going to get brain zapped.
Right. But also, you know, the cost involved in VR right now is still a big barrier to people getting into it. And the more advanced the technology is and the more they need to charge for stuff, that barrier is just going to get bigger, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I imagine it's going to be the same as Westworld or going to space is currently now. This is like a rich people play thing. Like, if you have billions, you're going to go off to your like secret, you know, country Western land with your robots. That's the life you're going to live. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us, I assume, will just be like, okay, back to work.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's definitely an opt-in with something like that for sure. That's If it doesn't become any kind of standard, it's going to be a difficult mountain to climb. I don't know. The problem is a lot of these companies like claim to have it and they just fail so miserably. So it you have this opposing effect, like Skull and Bones, who claims to have like one of the best games ever. And it's just so flat. And you know, even the sailing didn't really feel too immersive at all. It was
that's so sad.
I must say this, and I just want to never let anyone tell you you're wrong when you know a game sucks. This is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to name any names.
Right.
But I'm going to say a year, maybe 2 years ago when Skull and Bones was still like more ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, I'm so excited. I loved Assassin's Creed Black Flag. So I'm like really excited for Skull and Bones. I think it's going to be really cool. And a person I know who works at Ubisoft was like, nah, dude.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so sad.
So, you know, I'll just say they're like,
he's like, nah.
Nah.
Like what they do is going to flop on flop.
Yeah,
on launch,
I think everyone
really
knew. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's no inside secret that everyone there was like, yeah, no, this game's going to suck.
What's wrong with the game? Like, why doesn't it hit right?
It's as vast as an ocean, deep as a puddle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a game that was in development hell for so long that it passed between multiple teams, multiple ideas. Like, it isn't a game that has a focus. It's like, we're trying to be something. We just don't know what. Anyway, here's a game.
It's like trying to be the Destiny of, like, pirate games, but there's no missions. It's like, you just...
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, yeah, so... Like when you get to like, it's like, okay, you're doing quests and it's a lot of kill, bring back, go here, bring transport, whatever. It's just a lot of that. And then you pretty much just go loot, gather, build ship until you get best ship. And then you're like, okay, well, I can upgrade the guns. And then you upgrade your guns. And then it's becomes like a token grind for things to get like the higher tier guns. And at that point, you don't even want to do it. So you're just like, it's not at all enjoyable at a certain point. You're like, yeah, it's like, do I care about getting the best ship? Like there's one PvP like scenario at a certain point, and you're like, I'm not bothering anymore.
Are there any we're gonna make a game where you hang out on a pirate ship games that have like really crushed it?
Ooh.
Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, right? that's still going.
Yeah. At first, though, it had a lot of
sure.
What's the word that I'm looking for?
Yeah,
people were pretty harsh with it when it first came out, but it's stuck around. Oh,
absolutely.
Wait, which ones?
Sea of Thieves.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I was looking forward to Sea of Thieves a long time before it even came out. That sounded so cool. And then I was like, all I'm doing is everything is just everybody has everything, and then you just get cosmetics? Like, really? That's all? I'm like, oh.
I think Sea of Thieves didn't know exactly what it was when it launched and has since found itself. I from seeing people play. But yeah, I played when it first launched and was like, all right, this is like, it's not for me, but this is fine. And that's as me wanting a pirate game. I was like, yo, I'm really excited for pirate games. But it's, it didn't feel very piratey. Something about it was just like ship game. But it didn't feel like you were pirates. You were just like, well, dudes on a ship. And if we see another ship, we'll fight that ship. But there was no piratey. You were just like a privateer of anything. You're like, okay, we all have, you know, we all have cool stuff and we look cool. Let's boat around. You know, like there wasn't much to do.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Was VoIP a thing? Or was that like initially launched? Because I know. I don't know if it was so,
because you could yell at people on other boats, right?
Could
with
you?
The megaphone thing, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, we're boarding you. And then you'd have to
now
get really close.
That's where it does. I think that's where it wins. I don't know if it was just group or not, but yeah, I think that's where my whole focus in gaming, I feel like, is such a huge deal, because like that brings a human element, which creates complete variety that you'll never experience twice in a row. So as long as all the games like that, and that was been my focus in the like from day one. It used to be just like an RP thing, but then I realized it's not the RP that I'm really into. It's the human element that's added with using the voice and all that. Yeah. So you look at something like Tarkov, like the added voice, and then it became like obviously it's still got its hardcore shooter types of people, but I know it definitely added an element that was not there before that can change the outcome of scenarios, but I think that's where you can really add it. So if you have like, if you want a piratey theme, like you can kind of bring that element And they started getting there too, I think, with the treasure and adding the Pirates of Caribbean like DLC to it, which was I thought was really good.
Yeah, they did a Monkey Island.
Monkey Island? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it Monkey Island?
Yeah, it is the exact same trajectory as No Man's Sky, in that when it launched, it was like, okay. And then they just put time and energy into making it something. So the audience that stuck around loves it, and it's bringing in new people because they're putting it on things like, you know, Xbox and Game Pass. And so it's like, try this. I mean, again, Game Pass I don't think is great for devs, but it's definitely great for players because you're getting so much stuff on there. It continues to be the best deal on gaming.
Well, Game Pass?
It just is. Yeah.
Oh, there's no better money spent on video gaming than Game Pass.
Dude, yeah, it feels like every time I play something, someone in chat's like, oh, this is on Game Pass. I'm like, God, the value there is crazy.
Even on PC, it's worth it.
Yeah, the PC Game Pass is amazing. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, look, I'm not sure who is out there being like, Xbox is the only thing I play on. But, because if you're playing Xbox, everything's on PC, and so you can just play it on PC. But I understand that some people don't have the PC to play. But it's like, okay, so why did you pick Xbox? And every single time, Game Pass. Every single time. Mm. It isn't like, oh, the games on Xbox are superior. It's like, no. I'm just getting the best deal in gaming right now, and it's better than anything PlayStation has, period. Yeah. PlayStation might have some cool games, but like, Game Pass is a steal. Mm.
You pretty much have to buy every game. Does PlayStation have like their like a pass like that? That I don't know.
PlayStation Plus has like multiple tiers now. So there's PlayStation Plus, which is going to get you like 2-3 games, and then the next tier is a few more games, and then the next tier is like a full ass catalog of all the, like PlayStation X, like PSX, PS2. Like, there's a bunch of things that you can play. But it's just like how much money you're willing to pay.
Okay.
And so there's a lot. There's too many. I'm going to say there's too many tiers on PlayStation. But yeah, again, like just knowing what people like. No, Sony's right not to go into it too much because I don't think anyone on PlayStation is playing. Like Sony's like, we're selling games and that's it. We're just going to sell games. And I guess like, statistically, analytically, it's showing that people on PlayStation are just like buying the games. Again, this could be a chicken egg thing where it's like, well, you're not offering to sell them a pass.
Right.
So all they're doing is buying single games. But they're like, I mean, the math is this way. Meanwhile, Xbox is like, no, we're going to keep Game Pass going. And even when devs are like, it's really not good for us in the long run, it's still really great for consumers. So I don't know.
Look at Steam. Steam is the same way, right? It's all buy game, add to library.
Yeah.
So I guess that's very similar in that business model. And Steam seems to not be doing too bad either. I mean, God only knows what kind of money pours through that company. Jesus.
Dude. Yeah. Didn't they have to remove like a ton of games though because they weren't actually games? Am I making that up? Hold on.
Steam?
Yeah.
I mean, I have to believe it, but I also know that Steam also backtracks constantly. Like, when they were like, guys, we're gonna get rid of any erotic game, and then they were like, our bad, turns out you love them, so we're gonna make them way more prevalent, and we're gonna throw them on the front page, enjoy. And you're like, okay, thanks, dudes. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
They do that all the time.
There was a point where that was like all over the place. Mm-hmm. They like, let me look at the top games on Steam, and it's like, oh, what the hell is that?
Every time I log in, one of the top games always is a game that I'm like, what is this called? Pussy Master? What?
Same.
Yeah, except you buy them.
Sometimes I do. That's true. That's why it keeps telling me to buy them. But still. I feel like
not me. I download them for free on the internet.
Oh my goodness. A pirate? I have to change the topic back to pirate games.
Yeah, please. I'm more of like a porn writ. Nope, that sucked. Yeah, hold on, let me redo that.
Rewind.
No, rewind.
Yep. Try again.
A porn irate. Nope, that sucks. Hold on, rewind. We can A private tier. Oh, that's good. Ooh. If no one got me, chat got me.
There we
that's,
go.
That's, yep.
Yep.
That works.
Nice. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We got there in the end.
Solid. Solid. Yeah.
Yeah, we got there. yeah. Yep. Oof.
Yeah. So this is a heel turn. Sorry. But am I misremembering? World Book Day is not a thing in America, right?
No, okay, it has
definitely
to
not
be.
Something I've
when we were kids. All right. Well, I probably was a kid before you, but when we were kids,
like we would have the Scholastic book fair,
right?
Sort of
and they come through with all the books, and there'd be posters, be like World Book Day. I remember that vividly. It may not be a thing anymore because we have issues with books in the States. But,
it's so true. I don't recall ever hearing anything about World Book Day until I moved here. Because here, they make a whole...
I've never even heard of it.
Thank you. Here, they make a whole big-ass deal out of it where, like, kids go dressed up as their favorite book character, quote-unquote, and, like, bring in a book and, like, you know, tell each other about the book and... It's a whole thing.
Like it's a big thing in UK and Ireland.
Is it a different? So it says, "What is World Book Day in the USA? April 23rd."
Well, it's the same day, but it's a charity event held annually in the UK and Ireland. Is there?
Then
looks
why
like
do they
the
call
focus
it World
it?
Book Day?
Well.
Someone
we have
said
the World
World
Series of baseball.
Oh, that's so true. You guys do it differently. That's the difference. There are two World Book Days.
Okay, hit me.
In other countries around the world.
Ours was yesterday.
Right, in other countries around the world, World Book Day is celebrated the 23rd of April. But the UK opted for a different date.
Of course we did.
The reason for this is because had the UK kept the original date, the event would have clashed with Easter school holidays.
Mm.
And now we know. Yeah, so you just have a different day.
It's just a different day. Yeah, I don't remember World Book Day ever being a thing in America. I do remember Scholastic book fairs though.
The Scholastic book fair, that's where you'd see the kids who had money buy the books you always wanted to buy.
I didn't want to make it sad, but I 100% almost never got books.
I never got anything because we didn't have any money. So I would sit there and watch the kids who were rich buy like stacks of cool books, and I'd be like, man, I want another Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Right? Like, you know,
I'd love a Babysitter's Club and Goosebumps. Yeah.
Yeah. Or that one
that was
book
Goosebumps
that...
Day. Yeah.
Do you remember the
never
book?
Read those three.
This is so specific. Do you remember the book that the rich kid always had? It was always the rich kid. It was a book of like find the hidden items in the book. And it was like all these illustrations. And there were hidden things in the book. And if you found all of them, you would win a prize. It was like you'd win money because there were so many hidden items. It was, I'm trying to remember what this book was called, but it was huge, and kids would get it all the time. But it was always the rich kid, and he'd always be like, yes, of course. Is it called I Spy? Maybe. Now I got to look this up. Spy book.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Ooh. I don't remember that either, yeah.
It may be. It was something. The art looked gorgeous. This is interesting. Maybe it is an I Spy book. I don't know. I'm looking at them, and it could be, but it was roughly along the same thing, where it was a bunch of hidden things in some really cool art, and it was like, wow, this is so neat to look at, and you would just be jealous. I was constantly jealous of kids getting of books, y'all, books. I could get so many books today, and I'm like, what happened to that kid that was so jealous of books?
Yeah. That's lovely, though.
I had all the Magic Eyes. Magic Eyes were my...
Oh, my God.
My cool-looking books. I love them.
I totally forgot about those. Those were amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I would cross my eyes.
I got so good at it. Yeah, I got so good. I'd be just like, all right, yep, let's see it. Next one.
Man. Yeah, man. The old cross your eyes, hope to see something amazing.
A classic.
This is...
It's not a schooner. It's a sailboat.
I'm really curious. Apparently, sometimes you can like contact libraries and donate money. So if a kid shows up and they don't have money for a book, you can be like the book fairy and they get to pick out a book on your dime. I was like, I would love to do that. call up the library at my old high school and be like, yo, if a kid comes in and they want a book, give it to them. I think that would be fun.
I would love it if they gave you a wing at your old high school. You know, like in the library, yes. It's just like your name is above a hallway of books. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lasting legacy. But those books, only Yuri on Ice.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Did I nail it?
Yep, that is certainly the name of an anime.
Awesome. Awesome. Close enough.
If we were, guys, if the three of us were going to the same school and we all had to show up dressed as a book character, who would we go as? I did not come up with an idea for this ahead of time. I need to think about it.
How old are we in this scenario?
Let's say we are 9.
9?
Yeah.
9? Oh, God.
We're 9.
At 9 years old, I know exactly who I'd be.
Okay.
I'd be Mr. Muster. Mr. Muster was a character who had a zoo, and he was friends with all the animals at the zoo, and then the animals followed him home, and the zookeeper was like, Mr. Muster, where's the animals? He's like, they're not in my house, but they're definitely in his house. And it's a zoo for Mr. Muster, my favorite book. At 9 years old, that was a good-ass book. I dress up like him because he just looked like an old man with like a bowler hat.
Nice.
I could do that easily. Yeah.
Jeez. I have no idea.
I think around 9-10 years old is when I started reading Tamara Pierce. So I'd probably show up as Alana from the Tamara Pierce books, who is a badass girl who dressed up as a knight and became a powerful warrior.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's probably what I would have shared.
I don't even know at 9 what I was even reading.
It was a long time ago for all of us, I feel like.
Yeah, no kidding. You're making me go back. Normally, my memory is pretty good. I'm trying to think of the earliest like books I read. Mm. It was like Lord of the Flies was later. Maybe Hitchhiker's Guide I read earlier than that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, I could have been the Hungry Caterpillar. I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trying to think what was out. Oh, that guy that looked like the hedgehog guy.
Sonic.
No. What is this thing called? The little critter, whatever that guy was called.
Little critter.
This guy. I'm going to put this guy in chat for everyone to look at.
Okay.
This guy. I can't remember his name. This little critter.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. This guy.
I don't know what you would call him. He's like a hedgehog porcupine bear thing. Beaver? He's a beaver? I don't know what the hell this guy is. But I love him, and I could be like him.
He's a little critter,
yeah.
Yeah, I love how he's just like a mutated version of like 12 different rabbits. Like, which one should
I'm not sure
guys?
How you would describe this little guy.
Ball.
I love Little Critter. I could be him. That was a solid book when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah.
There's a series of books that I started reading and I was like, yeah, it's got lots of like action and stuff. Cause I had started to get into Animorphs and I was I want more stuff like this. Right. And started reading the series. I wish I could remember what it was called, but, at a certain point, two people made out and I was like, no, too much for me. It's like, oh my gosh, what a body book that I've wound up with.
I, somewhere around this office, have a full collection of Choose Your Own Adventure books. And
oh my God, I love those ones.
Right? I have every single one. I've saved them from when I was a kid. And more importantly, I know exactly what my original path was in every single one.
That's so cool. My
favorite one was the ninja one, because the story's supposed to be like, you're a radio DJ and you get sucked into a world of ninjas. Except in the beginning of it, there literally is like, there's a call to adventure, and it's the best thing. It made me so happy as a kid. There's a call to adventure, and you can literally just be like, nah. And then you go to the last page, and it's like, you went back to work for the night and continued being a radio DJ for the rest of your life. And I was like, that's a pretty good story. It's really
that.
Funny. Yeah.
Choose Your Own Adventure
books.
You got
books. A job and did it forever.
Great.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. I have them somewhere.
I don't remember those. I think the reason I like those so much was I think early in my gaming life on like the OG like Commodores, like the RPGs were just like type in what do you want to do.
Turn on light,
look under bed, stuff like that. So I think that's what like programmed me into liking those books so much. I'm like, oh man, that was actually really cool. I remember that.
If you like that, might I recommend a game if you have not played it already? A House Abandoned.
Ooh.
Imagine a game that is very similar to what you're talking about, where you're typing in stuff, but the game takes place in a room where you see the computer screen, but you're also in a room. And let's just say it gets a little spooky. Very cool. One of my favorite indie games that I've ever played, where it's just like real simple, real sweet. It's so good that they took that game and then made a bigger game out of it, where there's multiple short story games in one game.
Oh, sweet.
Very cool stuff. But House Abandoned is really cool. Absolutely love it. Yeah, the full thing's called Stories Untold, but the one very specific one is House Abandoned, and that's worth playing. It's really neat.
Ooh. Yeah. This is cool. So, yeah, I just watched like a quick video on it.
It is straight up what you're talking about, but like to the next level, which is always
those fun. Were so good. I think that was my first like real immersive like type of thing when it came to gaming.
Like and old
then
like muds.
Then yeah, the MUDs, and then I think Myst was like the next one once it became more graphical.
Myst
like, is that game where as a kid, if you solved any puzzle, you felt like a genius.
Literally.
Because, yeah. If you figured out anything to do with that game, you're like, oh shit. There.
From moment one, I remember the very first time I played being confused out the gate, being like, I don't even know where to go right now. Like that game, it was amazing, but also had some just beautiful moon logic. Just, yep, this is how this puzzle works. And you're like, what do you mean?
Huh? They had
the first time I used the walkthrough.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't figure that game out. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, didn't they have like they have like a lot of the games then were like videoed, right? Like they just videoed a person instead of.
Yeah, FMV.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a whole storyline, but it would take you so long to finish a puzzle that you'd even forget what was going on. Or I would.
I will say that two of my favorites, I believe it's Seventh Guest and 11th Hour. I think those are the names. Those games from back in the day that I think were on Mac or something. They re-released one of them in VR now. So you can experience the FMV stuff and people talking to you, but in VR, it's very cool. I would recommend that highly for people who miss those old school days. Mm. Or they still got Tex Murphy games coming out, so you can play Tex Murphy too, which is equally as cool. But if you want to, like, Seventh Guest was an amazing game. One of my favorites. So look it up if you want to see an old school FMV point and click that still was a ton of fun. You could tell every actor was having a blast. They're like, ooh, I'm a guest. And you're like, yeah.
I'm trying to think about it. I'm just thinking about all those games. I was like, early PC era. King's Quest, I was doing a ton of. What was it? Yep. Full Throttle. Do you remember that game, Full Throttle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Fucking that one I played probably about 900 times.
Mm-hmm.
God, those. Oh, what else was around that time? I'm trying to think. All the Sierra games. The Sierra games I like ate up.
Mm-hmm. Command and Conquer. Yeah.
Oh, Indiana Jones one, all of that. Yeah.
Oh, all of the LucasArts games, Sam and Max, Indiana Jones, The Fate of Atlantis, the early TIE Fighter and X-Wing games. Mm-hmm. There's so many good. Oh yeah, Space Quest, Police Quest was good.
Police Quest. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
The original SimCity was a banger. Day of the Tentacle, Monkey Island, Black and White was solid. I'm trying to think.
Unfortunately, a lot of those, because of what we've come to expect quality of life-wise from games, they do not age well for current gamers at all.
No. I went back because GOG had a sale where they were selling all the original Star Wars games. I was like, oh my God, I played hundreds of hours of TIE Fighter. I'm so excited. Downloaded TIE Fighter, the CD version, which is like the updated version. Mm. Your whole keyboard is used. Everything. You manage every part of that TIE fighter from like the shielding to the power of the weapons, the power. There's so much that going on that I'm just like, this is so unplayable. And I think it was like 2020. I was like, I can't, my brain is not wired this way anymore. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. This is too much.
The fact that you were able to play that at all at a certain point in your life is pretty impressive.
That's, but I, again, it was a, you know, a lot of the games looking back seem insane. Like one of my favorite games of all time is Vagrant Story for PlayStation 2. Vagrant Story is such a fun game. It's so good, but unplayable today. The jump button and the attack button are the same button.
Really?
Like think of like you had to enter combat, right? And so like a combat thing would happen and then you attack because you can't jump in combat. So you would attack with the attack button. But when you're out of combat, the attack button still the jump is the jump button.
Right.
So it's just like a weird, I don't know why they programmed it this way, but clearly at the time they're trying to do a thing. And by today's standards, it's like, wait, what? It's just another level of complexity that's unneeded.
Mm.
And so you can understand
things are like
why.
Two or three buttons back then. They didn't have like,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, so they had that's to like true, figure out multi-use on each of the, each of the controls of it. But yeah, I know that like with that X-Wing game, man, there's probably some super nerdy dude who just developed the shit out of it. He's like, they either learn it my way or I'm not developing a stupid version for them.
I did learn it his way to the point where I was making custom games for TIE Fighter where you could like set up your own scenarios and do like I was in it. I would like in the year 2000 uploads. It was 2000. The game had been out for like years at that point, and I was still uploading mods of like, here is a difficult challenge level I've created, and I'd upload it like, you have to protect these three Star Destroyers from an entire Rebel fleet, and I'd upload this, and I was just in it. And then I guess it's like high school Spanish. I learned what I learned and then forgot it.
Yeah.
So maybe a couple words.
Your brain was so delighted when it could throw that shit away. It's like, that took up so much space, dude. I'm so glad we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. And then I filled it with other useless crap. So, like you know. Do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just looking at pictures of Police Quest. I'm like trying to relive some of this.
You know what just flashed into my head? Huh. Syndicate. Do y'all remember the game Syndicate?
No, I never played it.
Where you would control four dudes in trench coats and go around the streets and like, we got to take down the bad guys, but we're also the bad guys in a cyberpunk future. If you ever want to just flashback to a game that, man, this might be 1995, 6. Syndicate was awesome. Syndicate made you feel like you were a cool dude. That was a good game. I
see
that.
The theme and the style of it. It actually looks pretty sweet. I don't know how this never hit my radar.
I mean, because it's old, like old. I'm sure 1993 is when Syndicate came out. My God.
How old was I? 6.
Yeah. 6 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Syndicate was too cool for you.
It was way too cool for me.
Yeah.
I was still watching my brother play Doom.
Look, that's
not supposed to do.
Oh, yeah. No, my not supposed to do was I went and got a disc copy of Leisure Suit Larry Love for Sale.
Oh my God.
And I had to play it in secret and my parents were out of the house because I was terrified that they discover that I was playing a point and click game that had boobs in it. Mm. Here's the thing. It didn't really have boobs. It was the insinuation of boob. It was like, dude, she's naked in that room, but you gotta find a way in. Oh, Leisure Suit Larry. Like, it was nothing. Those games had nothing. But it was like, oh, this is dirty.
Mm.
I don't want... This man's trying to have sex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep. I loved watching my brother play Doom, but my parents didn't want me to do that. I also always wanted to watch Beavis and Butthead, but I wasn't supposed to watch Beavis and Butthead. And...
Oh, Beavis and Butthead on Windows 95. I wanted Windows 95 because it came... Like, you could only play it on that.
Oh, like the Beavis and Butthead game?
Yes. The oh, my God. You start looging it off the rooftop on people. Like, that was a game. Mm. It was so good.
The good old days.
That was a good game, though. Yeah, I went to someone's house. I forget. There was a big guy. I remember, like, it's so funny. I remember, like, the weird little spots in life. I remember the dude was hard of hearing, or he was, like, Yeah, very much so. And like he was showing me the game, and I'm like, oh my God, you got a nice computer. It's like you can play this on here. That's crazy. So I sat up there. I spent like screw the party. I was up there all day. But it was a really good one.
That's a really good point that most of my memories about playing video games early in life aren't the game itself. It's being over at my friend's house in his bedroom playing Nintendo, the hockey game where it had the three guys, the skinny guy, the fat guy, the medium guy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember us playing that and trying to get them to crash through the ice. I remember being at my uncle's house and being scared to death of Castlevania 2 because it went. And when night came, I'd freak out because night was coming. And I was like a kid. I remember that. I remember playing GoldenEye in the basement of a friend's house at like 4 a.m. Right? Mm-hmm. All those little things. That's what I remember. Not like, wow, what a great game that was. Like
yeah.
I remember Contra.
Others, yeah.
I remember Contra not because it was Contra. I remember Contra because my friend would get Contra mad, which was a thing, TM, and he would scream at the TV, my ass, he'd go, your ass is grass and I'm a lawnmower. And he'd get really mad. And I'm like, this is the funniest shit. Like that kind of stuff is what I remember. And I think
a lot of the nostalgia is built off of that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I could think of so many different places. The big ass like shitty projector TV that was just gigantic playing Mario, like, you know, Mario 3 on that, man. Like it was, or I didn't have the system. My neighbor did. I'd be like, remember going over there, like playing paperboard in the basement or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a lot. I think that's where a lot of it comes from to like bring you back to that whole time frame of your life.
And I would just watch friends. Like I didn't have a Nintendo. I only got a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So before that happened, I would have to go over to a friend's house and like Nintendo it up. I watched my friends beat both Zeldas. I watched my friends beat Mario 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
I would help because I wasn't playing all the time. I always felt like a hindrance. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I just watched my friend stomp Mario 3 and be like, wow, you're so good at video games. He's like, yeah, my brother taught me all my moves. I'm like, your brother's the coolest.
I bet we could all remember our rental place, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My dad, I will never forget my dad coming in while I was playing Harvest Moon. And he was like, we could have bought it for cheaper than how many times you've rented that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember the back room of the rental place.
Just kept renting it.
Yeah, I kept running Final Fantasy VIII. That's, yeah. The game, what the hell is that? The VR Game Boy, whatever that one was called.
The Virtual Boy.
Yeah, the Virtual Boy. I rented that from Blockbuster Video.
Ours was a Blockbuster, too.
It was, you know, it was a thing. At the time, I was like, wow, it's so cool. It was very red, and I played tennis on it. But, you know, it was a good three-day fun time, but it was like, all right. I'm glad I rented that instead of buying it.
It was so disappointing when a new game came out. I was like, let me rent that game. It was like cleared out. You see all the empty cases there with nothing. Yeah.
When they were on CD, it became such a pain in the ass because half the time you get it and be like, someone purposely scratched the hell out of it. And you're like, I just want to play the game, man.
Yeah.
Nobody checked them either.
Never. Yeah. I mean, it's weird it went out of business. But
very wild. Shout out to when there were stickers on everything that said "Be kind, rewind."
Mm-hmm.
An old era.
We never had a VCR, so I never had that life.
You never had a VCR, really?
Really?
We didn't have a VCR. As an 11th grade, bought a VCR because my parents still would not get one. So I bought one for my own room because I was like, guys, I need something. So I bought a VCR DVD combo, which, by the way,
I used to sell is those.
Right. Which, again, a reminder, is the major plot point of the first Fast and Furious movie. Just remember that as they fly through space and fist fight each other like superheroes, the first movie was them stealing DVD VHS hybrids. So just remember that. Remember that's
it's
where it
part
started.
Of history is what he's saying.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you watched Tokyo Drift for the 55th time.
Yeah, remember that before they were drifting, they were stealing VHS players.
Yeah. Oh, proud God. Of them. They've come so far.
Yeah, so you really didn't have a lot of movies in your life at that time then.
I mean, I would see movies, but I never, like, that's why I don't own movies now. Like, as a kid, I never collected movies. So I don't have any movies in my home at all, except for stuff that people give me, which I'd have three movies now because people just give me movies. But, like, my parents did. My parents were always like, next time we'll get the thing. We'll get the thing. So instead of a Nintendo, I got a Super Nintendo. Instead of a VHS player, my parents got a Laserdisc player.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Why would they do that?
My dad got a mini DVD player when mini DVDs were supposed to be the next big thing. He still has it.
So we had a Laserdisc player, and we watched exactly six movies on it because that's all that was available. and I remember them. One was Star Wars. One was Batman Forever with Jim Carrey. One was The Sphere. I think that's what that was called. And Jurassic Park. And then two that I can't remember, but like literally just, that was it. There were no movies available for Laserdisc. But yeah, so that was a purchase that they made. Man. They were always like, the next thing is what's going to be. And then I saw that, was like, these suck. So I never like buy.
Yeah, it's because you had a shitty device to learn on. You're like,
yeah. So I'm not like a buyer of like, oh, I got to have that new tech. I'm like,
Well, you're living in a very good era for that. A lot of people don't own movies anymore.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, forcefully, sadly.
Yeah.
You don't own your games either. So, you know, it's chill. Have fun.
It's wild. I was talking with Sam about this, but like we're coming full circle now because there are people who are making videos like, here's how to watch a movie on Netflix and then record it onto a VHS tape. Or a DVD so that you can keep it. It's like, we're back. We're back, baby. We're back in it.
Yeah, I guess with the exclusives. I saw a guy
the other day post a thing that was like, if you don't own any of the things you're paying for, then is it really illegal to pirate it? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know anymore. I have no idea what the rules are.
There are no rules. Not anymore.
Yeah. We're back to the point where everything you're paying for again is roughly cable. The other day I saw they were like combining six streaming platforms into one.
It was inevitable. It's cable. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess apparently is always the plan every time stuff like this happens where it's like create a new product, make it cheaper than the other products. And then get everything else to shut down, and then you jack up your prices and make it what the product was before. Like, that's the gimmick. And it's like, wait, that's always the plan? Like, yes, that's always the plan, which is crazy to me. Yeah. So basically, it's like, kill cable, recreate cable. It's like, wait, what? But now we run the cable. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, most cable companies now offer, like, hey, if you have us for cable, then you also get, you know, a year of free Netflix and you can use your cable login to have Paramount Plus. And like, you know, they're starting to like basically, consider streaming services as part of cable, which is really interesting.
It's just like the problem, though, is that they have like all these individual things. It's probably like who knows how many different streaming services there are. And now they're like kind of like joining efforts.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I just paid for both of them. And now they say, like, this one's offering this one. So it's like, you have to, like, I can just cancel them all and then figure out, like, the right way to do it. Cause I'm sure there's, like, combo deals that save you money.
That is what I had a moment at the beginning of the year where I was just like, I have all these streaming services and I think I watch two things. And the rest of the time I just flip through them, like, nope, 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 nope. And so I canceled.
You don't know where anything is either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I canceled everything except for HBO that comes with the cable that we already have. Mm-hmm. And Netflix, my parents use. So I can't cancel that. That's it. Mm. Everything else, I was like, I'm canceling it all. The problem is I'm like, Paramount Plus is a great example. I clearly paid for a year up front. Oh, so I still have it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I just don't. I guess I'll keep it on my TV, even though I just want to remove it. But like, I guess maybe I'll watch something on there. I haven't.
They got all the Treks. They have all the Treks on the Paramount Pluses, you know.
Like, yeah, all right. But like,
I think my favorite one is Disney.
There's nothing that I want to watch. Like, a great example is Disney Plus. I'm like, yo, I don't have Disney Plus anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm over. The only thing I would watch on there would be stuff for the show I did with Marvel stuff or Star Wars. And I just get upset because I was like, I don't think I like this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Except for Andor, which I loved. The rest of everyone's like, dude, you got to check out Bad Batch. I'm like, okay.
No, like, no, I turned one half like, yeah, that I lost that immediately.
For me. Yeah, no. It's fine. It's not for me, clearly. But, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll. When Andor season 2 comes out, I'll pay for it a month and then go back. But like, I don't, you know, I just, it's too much.
Yeah.
Even Amazon, which even Amazon's like, yo, I know you're paying for a thing, but do you also want commercials? It's like, no.
No, I don't.
Giving you money, stop doing that to me.
Now they're like, well, if you give us more money, no commercials. I'm like, this is what everyone has done. And it's just so tiring because you're like, all right, we bought into the idea of what this was, and now you're just screwing us over again. Like, all right, cool.
Aren't the commercials the angle to make it cheaper? You know, like the add the same price, add it, and then pay more. Which is, I think Hulu wasn't Hulu like fucking like free in the beginning, and then like just had ads all the time.
Yeah, Hulu started putting ads in to the point where they were like, hey, do you want no ads? Pay more. Same thing with Amazon.
That, like,
it's always the same thing. And even I think Netflix is doing that now, where they're like, hey, look, we got to subsidize the costs of, let's stop making $200 million shows. No one watches, you goobers.
Right. Like, yeah.
They're so dumb, but whatever. I honestly found myself being like, what if I just started reading more? What if I just like at night didn't watch TV at all and just started reading books?
Yeah, dude.
And so that's where I'm at mentally. I'm just over it. I'm like, no, none of this is doing me any favors. I'm paying a bunch of money for stuff I'm not using. Like, why on earth would I keep doing this? And so now I'm like, what should I be doing with my life instead? Like, what if I read the classics and I went back and like, that's where I'm at.
So, sure.
Will I? I don't know that's going to actually happen, but the thought was there, and that's what counts.
Yeah, I go through more and more stages where I have a hard time getting through whole ass novels unless they're like a really specific vibe. But novellas have been very good for me because they're normally like 200 pages max. You know, they don't take too long.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been reading. My rite of passage to Boomerland is playing chess now. I needed something to challenge my lazy ass brain, so that was and it appealed to my like competitive nature, so it's like quick rapid fire 10 minute games. I'm just beating the shit out of people on those. I feel like I'm so much smarter than people. It's great. I've got the whole thing figured out. It's great.
Chess is good and incredibly humbling because you always feel like you're great until you meet a player who actually is and they stomp you. And I will always share that when I was a teacher, the guy across the hall, Mr. Piamonte, the science teacher, every day after school, he would be like, Jesse, come to my room. Let's play. And I'm like, I got stuff to grade. He's like, it won't take long, which I always knew was demeaning. He's like, it won't take long. So I go over to his room and we'd sit there, and every time this son of a bitch would be like, your move. And I'd start playing my hardest. And he'd like, checkmate. I'm like, how, bro? How? And he's like, I've been winning for 4 turns. And I'm like, And he would every time play me like that. And every time I'd be like, I'm going to get you today. I'm going to get you. And he's like, okay, come on. And then he beat me. I was like, is this how you take your anger for the students out on me? Is this what happens? You had a bad day and then you like play chess with me and then he beats my ass. It was great. I learned humility quickly.
I bet. From that man.
He was like, I'm very good at this. It's like, okay.
I always thought chess took like 2 hours every time you played it, and then like I started playing online. I'm like, this is like you could destroy someone super quick. I don't know. That's kind of why I never played it growing up. Maybe because it was so confusing in the beginning. Like you had to remember. It's honestly very simple. Once you become like a gamer, like
what are you trying to say, Tim? That if you're not good at chess, you're not a gamer.
Well, no, I said once I became a gamer, I could understand more concepts at once. So when you look at chess, it becomes a lot more simple.
Sure.
Later on, when you develop those types of ideas. But yeah, chess was, the thing. So I've been watching like chess videos and poker videos. Like those are like my like residual always go back to.
I enjoy watching people play poker. Because there's such a weird psychological element as to the whole game.
I don't know what it is. Like they always pop on my feed and I always click them. It's like Brad Owen, I think he's in Vegas right now in like some huge tournament. And like he's someone I always watch. When it first pops up, I always watch it. I don't know what it is about poker. He's really good too.
That's like me with craps.
Oh, I love craps.
I'm obsessed with craps because it's like a total brain game.
I can't even imagine what craps looks like. Can you pitch craps to me?
Craps is it's the dice die game where you roll and depending on the number that appears, multiple variation of things can happen.
Okay.
So a great example is it's always 7 and 11 are kind of like the things to focus on, but it just depends. So a great example is when you first start, you have a board in front of you and everyone's standing around this play area. And you're placing money on numbers. So it's like, okay, I think that whatever this dice is going to be, it's going to be like it's. So the first bet would be like, it's not going to be a 7, for example.
It's a weird like introduction part. Like this is always a confusing part.
Yeah. So like before
I remember
it starts,
people explaining it.
Like, so you're going to roll and you can bet either with the table or against the table.
Okay.
So, and that can be infuriating because if you're a bunch of people around the table and you all like, we're going to not get a 7. Guys, we're not going to get a 7. So put your money on not getting a 7. And then some other guy's going to be like, I bet we hit a 7. You all lose your money. Right? And so that happens. And if that happens, you roll 7, that guy is dead to me. Anyway, so
okay.
You
it's so bad when they walk up with a giant pile of chips, too. Fucking big dog is like, don't pass. That's called don't pass, that one.
So you roll the die. And let's say it's a 6, right?
Okay.
So, all right, hooray, we got a 6. Now, no one won anything, but it means we can actually play the game now.
Okay.
And so what ends up happening is you place money everywhere on the board. So it could be like, I think that we're going to hit some 5s. So I'm going to put $5 on 5. Or I think that we're going to hit a 6, but I think it's going to be 2 3s. So I put that, and that's worth like 9 to 1, something like that.
Yeah.
So okay. That's like, that's really good. If you hit 2 3s, that's, you can put it everywhere. You can be like, I think we're going to get a 12. Or you know, you can put money, literally any combination you can think of is on that board. And so the person who rolls again, and whatever that is, you get paid out for that. So if it's a 5 and I have money down, if I have like 5 on 5, I might make back a certain amount of money, like $5.80, something like that. It's all like, there's like crazy amount, but you make back chips, right?
Mm.
And it keeps going, and you put more money down, and it keeps going, and you're making more money.
They just keep paying you out as you go, yeah.
Yeah, until that guy rolls a 7.
Then the board
hits the 7, everyone loses everything.
Okay, interesting.
That's on the board. And so you literally are just basing it entirely on the roll and the odds of, okay, we haven't had a 7 in a while. Chances are we're going to get a 7. So do you pull stuff or do you
commit? Can pull all your bets back too. Like you can take the money back off the board. Give me the bag.
Every single time. And so the way I'll play it is if I win more than I put down to begin with, I'll put that in my pocket and then I'll just play with what I have left. Because the assumption is you want to gamble with what you have left in order to make more.
Right. Okay.
And so when you make money, like if I make 5, in theory, I want to take that 5 and put it back on the board so I can make even more money. And so there are times where you could play and be up $700 and then someone rolls a 7 and you lose all of it.
Right.
And that's the vibe. And so it's a big hit or miss game, but
it's the loudest table in the casino. If you ever walk through a casino, everyone's screaming, that is definitely the craps table.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's It's about the strategy of odds and averages versus the strategy of like figuring out what card's next or trying to sort of poker your way to victory by bluffing. Or like, this is straight up just a man's rolling or a woman's rolling, and it's whatever fate is, you know? And sometimes you get an old lady who just kills it and she keeps going. And then sometimes you get this young dude who comes in and he's like, all right, I'm here to win us some money. And then he takes all your money and you're like, I hate this game.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, the seven is your like bad roll, but like you think about it, like how many different combinations, like 1-6, 2-5, you know, all these different combinations that could come out. And that's like kind of like with 6 and 8 too. Those are most common, but it doesn't pay out as well.
Right.
But if you have like a 4 or a 10, you know, that you're betting on, that gives you more money if they hit. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And you have to figure out like the odds. Cause again, a 7 can be like you were saying, a 6-1, a 5-2, a 4-3, right? You could do all these different things. Meanwhile, if you get a 6, that's only 2 dice rolls you can get, right? There's only so much you can do with that. Actually, that's a lie. There's 5-1. There's a bunch. Never mind. Ignore that. So, there's other ones.
6-8's the most common winners. Yes.
Hold on. There's other ones.
5-9 like, is a little less.
Like, you know, a 3 is tough, or there's different things, right. But those also pay out in different ways. So it's a interesting game. It's also incredibly frustrating, but it's also the loudest, absolutely correct. It's the loudest table in a casino, because if you make it big and you get a roll going, so much money appears. And you just have to be smart enough to...
If you're a hot roller, people start throwing money at you. They're like, you're good. They keep tipping you, like throwing you money. It's like, okay. Like,
you're doing it because you're making them so much money.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so much money so quickly sometimes. Because again, if you put down... Like, okay, we got a 6, going back to a 6. And it's like, if I put down 3 threes and you land that for me, you made me a ton of money. So I'm going to be extra happy for you. And that's inherently the problem, because it's like, well, we've done so well and we're winning so much. If I just put down a little bit more, I will surely make twice as much.
Right.
And then it just, you're like,
vanishes.
Well, glad I did that.
Interesting.
It's an interesting game.
I'm gonna watch people play craps tonight.
You're gonna be so confused. It's such a weird game to like figure out. But once it clicks, it makes a lot of sense. It's just it's very odd game to learn.
I don't know all the combinations of 6, so you know. All I'm saying is there's a lot of variations and variables, and so like if you can find what works for you, like your strategy, and remember that it's a long game rather than a get rich quick game.
Yeah.
Then you'll do well.
Yeah, last time I went to Vegas, I spent my hard cap was $500 a day that I would withdraw from the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I came back sitting at the craps table after, I think I spent like 20 hours over like a whole weekend. And I came back with like $5,000. So it was like,
so it worked out.
I had this very simple strategy, and that was a long amount of time at the table.
Mm. Yeah. It's just you go simple, you go easy,
it's
and
so
you can
fun.
Do it. Don't be like me. I'm a problem. I'll be like, guys, I'm doing so well right now. What if I did even better? And then some guy walks in, he's like, this is my first table of the day. Roll. Goodbye, money. Goodbye. Yeah. So I'm bad at gambling, which is why I don't gamble that much.
Mm.
I'm like, I can't. I know I'm going to lose this, so I'm just going to not. It's.
Yeah, I think I've gambled twice in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Well, I do it for the free drinks. So I try to go with the best odds all the time. Sure. So I do 6 and 8. I always do 6 and 8 and maybe a 5 or 9 with craps. And then I sit there all day just drinking.
It's smart. That's the best way to do it. Is if you find a table, sit there. They'll keep bringing you drinks. And they're like, here you go, sweetie. And you're like, a great example of that kind of vibe. There is a casino game, and it might not be there anymore in Vegas. I don't know, but it was only at like 2 or 3 casinos, and it was the Deal or No Deal game. And
God,
it's a slot machine game, but there's a big screen and there's 5 people that play. And as you play, what it is, it's very simple. You just do the slots and the slots roll through, and you're not trying to get any big money payouts. What you're trying to get are briefcases. And if you get one briefcase, you're in the final drawing. But if you get two briefcases, it's a time two multiplier. If you get three briefcases, so on, so on. So your objective is to put in enough money to get at least one briefcase. And then if you have the ability to, like, do more, go for it. And so what happens is, if you just do the one briefcase, because the game, the big game only runs once every 15 minutes, right? So what you would do is you would gamble just enough to get a briefcase, and then Howie Mandel would be like, come on, let's play. And you just ignore his ass. And then every once in a while, so the game doesn't boot you, you make one roll. And then maybe you might get like a two times multiplier, but whatever, you make one roll. And you just keep it going for that 15 minutes. You sit there and just talk with friends. And like, all right, well, I got mine. And then when the game starts, that's the real game and how you make your money, because you're playing, you're literally playing Deal or No Deal. So okay, you pick a case. And then you just, like, with everyone else there, you're like, yo, I'm sticking with my case. Like, unarmed. And everyone's trying to make their own thing. Sometimes everyone playing picks the exact same case because it's like, we're in this together. Let's go. And it's super fun. But the whole time, you're just sitting there camped out getting free drinks brought to you. And you're spending, like, $6 every 15 minutes. The best deal in Vegas.
Nice.
It's like cheating this game.
That sounds amazing.
It was great. And then
most of the time, you probably get your money back anyway, barely, if anything.
When you do the deal or no deal part, if you have a time two multiplier, doesn't matter what the hell you get. You've already made your money back. It was it was such a good game. I don't know that it's there anymore, but it was the chillest vibe in any casino.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely deal or no. I remember last time I was there. It was like, it's deal or deal. The thing is, Wheel of Fortune is never going away.
No,
deal or no deal, sure. And then just classic, you know, slots are always going to be. They're going to keep a machine going just to make sure people want to spend money on us there.
Yeah. Now they have those slots that are like, if you just put in the money, you can unlock this special. Like, they have an image that's shaking and money's popping out of it. And it's like, if you just put in enough money, you can get that mega lotto. And you're never going to get it. It's never going to happen. It's totally a fluke. The reason it's shaking and jiggling is to get your attention. It's such a scam. And I will scam them. It's only deal or no deal. That's all I want. That's the best one there.
Uno reverse. I am the one who scams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Every casino I've ever been in has taken my money. It's never.
Yeah, never.
No, not once have I felt like I came out on top.
Gamble responsibly, viewers and listeners.
Yeah, don't fall for it. You're not going to make the money you think you're going to make. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
Oh, goodness.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see if I can understand how craps works.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I don't know why. Now that you've described it to me, it sounds like a hoot.
It's cool because it's dice too. It's like everything else is cards. Like, it's like one of the only dice games in the casino. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any others. But
you can also, Dodger, if you ever feel like I want to try it,
yeah,
but I don't want to do it in front of people, they have digital versions.
Of course they do.
Where it's like, you go to the casino and you play by yourself, and there's like a sexy anime girl who's like, push the button. Come on. Push the button, boobs.
Right.
And then you slam a button, and then the big foam die in the middle bounce around. And then she's like, six, hi. And you're like, okay. All right. Cool. Cool. Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before. Push the button.
Push the
Come
button.
On.
Well, yeah. So we don't recommend that you gamble, but Tim Mack, at the end of all of our episodes, we ask our guest to recommend one thing. It could be a show, a game, a movie, a book, comic, whatever. Something that you think people should give a shot.
So my things right now, I play piano, so I always think someone should learn to grab an instrument and do something with that. Do something in some kind of creative outlet, I think, is very important. If we're talking media and feeding your brain with whatever is provided to you, what do I have? What have I been?
I mean, your homework can be plunk something out on an instrument.
Yeah, because I got this keyboard. I just bought this thing. It's a Roland Phantom 8. This guy. This is my baby right there. I've gone. Oh, it's so pretty. I love it. You could learn like how to loop music and shit and all that stuff. But what if I were to say something different that kind of ties into all of this? Something I've really enjoyed, if you haven't played it, is Balatro. It is an amazing poker roguelike deck manipulation kind of magic-y type of vibe with Joker power-ups and all that stuff. Balatro is an amazing game if you haven't tried it.
It sounds like it might be coming to mobile too.
Yeah, is it?
Apparently they're testing it out. Yeah.
It is so good. It is so good. I was obsessed with it. I skipped streams. I was playing it all day.
Really? God.
Oh yeah.
Our friend Brett also is playing it like constantly. So
yeah, I think I saw some people from our friend circle that popped up on here. Krendor, ask him about it. He's definitely very much involved in that. Joe Fudge, he's around.
Not surprising. You know, just putting like different things on the sort of roguelite framework is so smart, and people love that shit. Me,
G-Mart, John Sandman. Yeah, I'm seeing that. Yep, there's a trend here going on. But yeah, it's if you like this, because like I said, I'm like obsessed with like poker for some reason. So this was like a weird. It's really cool. Like you build your jokers, so you get your points and you get your multiplier.
Mm.
And you're supposed to beat the ante, which is like, say, first round is 300, and then a full house with high enough cards. You have like 8-9 cards to choose from, and you could discard up to like 4 times. So if you have, if you figure 8-9 cards, you could discard 5. That's another like 25 cards that can come in. So that's almost like half the deck that you can. So you can make these hands if you try hard enough. But the idea is you build up these hands with enough point value and multiplier where you just have these extreme scores, and like it's a roguelike type of game. So like the first round, you're like 300, you get some money, then you get to a shop and you're like, oh, I can buy this joker. There's planet cards which up like your score for a certain hand. So if you're like, I want to do, I don't know, a full house build or something like that. And then it becomes like a flush house. So it's like a weird, like you could do just all flush, like duplicated numbers. So you could have like four extra cards exactly the same to their deck. So you could have like this, I don't know, 2-5 of hearts, 3-7 of hearts or something like that, which is really odd. But so like you have the building a flush house type of deck. And it's very cool. It's very different, like with the approaches you can take on it.
Yeah.
So I could destroy cards, or I could build up cards, or I got this money build, like where the more money that my jokers were worth, the higher the multiplier were. And every round, it builds up all of the value of the jokers. So you could sell these things off, or just that adds to your like strength.
It's $15.
It's,
it looks
it's
like.
Amazing. Yeah, oh, very, it's obsessively good. If you get hooked on it in any way, like, I've got 23 out of 27 achievements in the game, and I just lived it for, like, 2 days.
Dang. Yeah, sounds like you played it a lot then, dude.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. Actually, that was the wrong game. That was No Man's Sky. I played 35 hours, yeah. I might have left it open, though. I don't know.
I never know how long I've actually played a game. Didn't. I leave them open all the time. And people will come in and be like, how many hours do you have in this game? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's wrong. Whatever number it says, that's not real.
The higher the number, the less of a buffer you get to call that out on.
Yeah. That's true. Tim, I'm so glad that you came on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This is good.
Please pitch yourself to everyone. Where can they find you? What do you do? Yeah.
I'm not I'm not like a look at me type of streamer. I hide. I hide in my corner. If you show up or find your way there, welcome.
I'm humble. So I refuse to shout myself out.
The problem is I see so much of it in GTA. I play GTA RP. And, you know, obviously I play Gomer Carlton, who's a hillbilly redneck lunatic. And then my new character is Liam McMahon, which is my cop. They made me make a new cop. My old character wouldn't. I don't know why. I'm not even getting into it. But But yeah, I play, you know, he's a knowledgeable cop from the Bronx, you know, so I RP these characters. And, you know, the thing is, like, I'm not really look at me type of person because I see it all in RP. Like, these, it's huge attention seeking, trying to draw the crowds because there's eyes everywhere. And it's, I'm not about that life. I just, you know, people find out their way and I can support myself. That's what I do. But RP's been my gig for, I think I'm hitting my partner anniversary, 10-year partner anniversary this year.
Oh, congrats.
In the next couple months or so. Yeah.
Are you going to do something for it? You don't have to. You can say no.
Probably. I probably should so I can make some money off it. we're on a drought right now for me, so I gotta bring that back up. I always have to do these like little gimmicks to get it back, but yeah, I don't mind once in a while, like a stubathon or
yeah, awesome.
Anyway,
all right,
yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, twitch.tv/timac.
That's me.
Go follow him. He's lovely. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for watching/listening to Geekenders. If you showed up halfway through this or if you'd like to rewatch it, you will not find it here. The VOD will be on youtube.com/JesseCox along with all of our other Geekenders episodes if you'd like to watch those. Jesse also puts them up on podcast websites. So if you have somewhere that you listen to podcasts, it should be there as well.
The reach.
Yeah. Is there anything,
that's good, smart,
Jessup, that you would like to tell the masses?
Remember, only you can keep watching this podcast.
Mm-hmm. So true. Have an amazing weekend, guys. Thank you all very much for watching. We'll see you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger. What up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.